Thank you for downloading the Lancashire Mining Museum Mining Trail audio guide. This audio guide will give information at each stopping point and directions to the next point on the map. Once you have arrived at the starting point, please press play. After each direction, you will hear a long beep where you should press pause on your device. Once you have followed the directions, press play to hear information about the relevant point on the map. This will be followed by the next set of directions. Trail 1, Astley to Tilsley. Blue Route. An approximately 1 hour circular walking cycling route of 3 miles, 5 kilometres, involving some off-road footpaths. Allow extra time for sharing information at points of interest.
1. Lancashire Mining Museum, Astley Green Colliery, 1908 to 1970. The Clifton and Kersley Coal Company sank the two new shafts off Higher Green Lane using the German drop shaft method, the first to do so in England, because of the water and quicksands encountered. The drop shaft, or sinking drum process, involved forcing a cylinder through the heavily watered peat and loose layers to the rock head and excavating within it. The seams went under chat moss, which meant water was continually dripping down, making work very wet and very hot. The standing headgear, one of two formerly here, is the last surviving of the former South Lancashire coalfield. A colliery railway moved coal from the screens to the Liverpool and Manchester Railway, but some coal was transported to power stations at Trafford Park and Stretford using the Bridgewater Canal. Sadly, there was a mining accident at Astley Green on the 6th of June 1939, when 5 men, including the manager, died in an explosion of fire damp. But in 1956, 36-year-old deputy Alf Hughes received the Daily Herald Order of Industrial Heroism, or the Workers' VC, for rescuing 30-year-old electrician Brian Walker when he was being dragged into a mechanical coal-cutting and conveying machine. Alf was presented with his medal at Astley and Tilsley Miners' Welfare Institute, or Gin Pit Club, which we will visit later. Outside of the museum, now a village green, once stood the pit head baths, canteen and medical centre, designed for the Miners' Welfare Committee by architect C. Kemp. They were built in 1935 to 1936 at a cost of over £24,000.
Leave the museum, walk up the road and turn right onto Higher Green Lane. Cross Whitehead Lane. Stop at Astley Green Village Club on your right.
Two, Astley Green Village Club, or Astley Conservative and Unionist Club. Inside, Tracy Elliott's mural from 2019 shows Astley Green Colliery from Higher Green Lane before the 1930s. Note the old cottages on the opposite side of the road. At number 71, the sign says Weaver's Cottage, indicating the local industry in the area before the colliery opened.
Continue up Higher Green Lane and stop at the last building on your right.
3. The last house on the right, number 56, is the Grade 2 listed Manor House. Built in 1730, it was once the farmhouse for Manor House Farm.
Walk to the crossing at the traffic lights on the East Lancs Road.
4. The Liverpool East Lancashire Road, or East Lancs Road, A580, which links Walton to Salford, was opened by George V on July the 18th in 1934. It was designed to connect Manchester and East Lancashire to the port of Liverpool and was the UK's first purpose-built intercity highway. Unfortunately, it cut Astley in half, isolating Astley Green and destroying some of the local farms, e.g. Horridge and Myrtle Grove farms.
Cross the East Lancs Road. Once over the East Lancs, cross at the traffic lights and continue along the opposite side of Higher Green Lane, then turn left onto Manchester Road and stop.
5. Astley is believed to predate the Norman Conquest. The name is thought to derive from the Anglo-Saxon for East Field and was first recorded at Astley around 1200. An alternative version is that it means east or ast of Lee. Like most of the surrounding area, the economy was originally agriculture-based, combined with small-scale domestic textile industries. Cheese and brickmaking were also strong industries, with small-scale coal mining beginning in the 17th century. On the opposite side of the road stands 548 Manchester Road, the Willoughbys, or the Doctor's House. From 1921 to 1944, this was the home of Dr. Sidney Hamilton Ryan, colliery doctor for Astley Green Colliery, who conducted the autopsy reports after the 1939 explosion.
Cross Manchester Road via the zebra crossing and walk to the top of Coach Road.
6. On the right-hand side, behind the second tree at number 21 Coach Road, lived John Griffiths, who was an underlooker at Astley Green Colliery, a daily inspector of mines. He was killed in the 1939 explosion and is buried at Tyldesley Cemetery. Coach Road was built by the owners of Dam House so that they didn't have to pay tolls at Astley Straits. Until the 1960s, it was just a rough track. Its name comes from its coach house destination.
Retrace your steps along Manchester Road and continue until you come to the footpath between numbers 508 and the Bull's Head car park. Follow the footpath to Church Road, then turn left and walk to the site of the former St Stephen's Church, which is on your left.
7. Number 236, opposite, is the old vicarage of St Stephen's Church. This Tudor manor house was built around 1590, with further additions in the 18th and 19th centuries. It belonged to the Mort family, but was used by the chapel's curate from 1630 until 1989, when a new one was built in Blackmore. St Stephen's Church was built around 1760 by Thomas Sutton, Lord of the Manor and a descendant of Adam Mort. However, in 1961, after the annual walking day, the vicar was wakened by a youth knocking at the door who informed him that the church was on fire. Despite the best efforts of 50 firemen from surrounding towns, the flames rose 50 feet above the church, reducing it to a burnt shell. Incredibly, it turned out that the youth, a young mill worker who raised the alarm, was actually the arsonist and was later caught. A new church was built a few hundred yards away in 1968. The church played its part in supporting local people during the 1912 coal strike, when a local committee was formed to supply free meals for 300 children each day, consisting of lentil soup and potato hash. On your left, near to the trees, is the grave of Joseph Rowson, who was killed at Cross Hillock Colliery, we will visit the site later, on the 18th of March 1873, when he was only 23. He was a day man who was taking out props when the roof collapsed on him. The size of his memorial tells you how important he was to his local community.
Enter the graveyard and follow the path which bends to the right. Exit the graveyard and cross the road to stop outside the entrance to Dam House.
8. Dam House, or Astley Hall, was built around 1595 by Adam Mort, who also established a school and chapel, St Stephen's, for the local community. The Mort family were succeeded by the Suttons and the Froggatts, the last member of which, Sarah Froggatt, raised the money to restore the house by leasing mines to John Darlington of the Astley and Tyldesley Coal Company. A proviso was that the company could not have any workings within 60 yards of Dam House or dig underneath it. When Sarah's grandson, George Wetherall, inherited the hall, he neglected it and the estate and ran up debts. In 1893, he sold it to Lee Local Board, who built a brick wall around the site and turned it into a sanatorium for people suffering from infectious diseases, including typhoid fever, scarlet fever, polio, meningitis and puerperal fever. Although it went on to become a general hospital, it continued to treat infectious diseases and in later years specialised in chronic disease and care of the elderly. Many miners came here to recuperate from injuries or long-term conditions caused by working underground. It closed in 1994 and was purchased and restored by the Mort's Astley Heritage Trust in 1999. Visit here for refreshments and WC.
Continue along Church Road and turn right onto Manchester Road at the roundabout. Turn right into the Lay.
9. The Lay dates from about 1840 and runs from Manchester Road to Jim Pitt Village. The long wall on the right marks the former hospital boundary. The Lay was a 16-acre field which was donated to Tilsley Urban District Council by coal owner James Smith as an open space forever. He also bought and donated the Bullcroft, which is now the village green.
Follow the Lay until you reach Parkfield Avenue, Greenland Road. Turn right, then left into Sunnybank Road. Walk along until you reach number 21 on your left. Take the footpath between number 21 and number 23 and turn left to follow the footpath. Follow it to the right, then don't veer off to the left, but continue until you reach the track that divides Prince's Avenue from Astley Street. Turn right onto Astley Street and cross the road where it narrows near the bus stop. Turn left into Lay Road. Continue towards Jim Pitt Village. Enter the bus turning area on your left. Take the footpath opposite, which leads to North Lane and Collier's Wood. Follow the path until you reach the entrance to the woods on your right. Ahead of you, at the edge of the trees, you can see a fallen gatepost.
This and the bricks and other materials scattered around are all that remain of Kermishaw Nook Colliery, the second largest pit owned by Manchester Collieries, a coal mining company formed in 1929 from a group of independent companies operating on the Manchester coalfield. Their headquarters were in Walkden. Collier's Wood, a 130-hectare woodland, was planted as part of the Forestry Commission's Community Forest Scheme to create recreation and conservation facilities in the northwest. Trees were planted on the site of the former colliery and its slag heaps to stabilise the surface spoil, improve the soil quality and provide habitats for wildlife. The wood has over 5 kilometres of path networks and great views across the borough to Winter Hill.
Walk through the entrance gate, enter the trees to your left and walk in a straight line to find the concrete pyramid. Warning: take extra care as the ground is very uneven with bricks and other debris. Be very careful near the shaft as there has been some digging in the area around it.
This capped off ventilation shaft is one of 5 Tilsley pyramids to be found in the woods. Nook Colliery was opened in 1866 when the Astley and Tilsley Coal and Salt Company sunk a shaft to the Rams Mine. A second shaft was sunk in 1873 to reach the Arley Mine and a third to the Trencherbore Mine in 1899. The colliery also incorporated a brickworks, making productive use of the clay seams in the pit. A mineral line ran behind it to the coal tipping wharf at Marsland Green on the Bridgewater Canal. In 1954, the Arley Mine was ravaged by an underground fire and production stopped for 2 years, with many miners moving to Astley Green, which became known as the Last Refuge. In 1959, the Arley Mine, in collaboration with the unions, was declared uneconomic and shut, but its 400 men were employed elsewhere. In 1965, there were problems with push-button mining on the new automated coal face in the Pemberton Mine, which had been introduced for the first time in the Northwest nearly a year previously. There was a month-long dispute over pay by unhappy surface workers, but the NCB was adamant that button workers should be paid the same, despite the fact that only 40 of 900 men worked on the automated face. Nook closed in August 1965 after losing up to £4,000 a day. The Nook Colliery Lodge was in the fields opposite, and in 1950 the LUT, Lancashire United Transport, pit bus had just dropped off 60 miners when the driver hit the curb, lost control and crashed through the lodge railings into the water. Some of the bus's passengers rescued the unconscious driver, whilst the quick-minded conductress had managed to jump off in time.
Retrace your steps, leave Collier's Wood and return to the footpath. Leave via the entrance gate and take the footpath to your right, which leads to North Lane. Stop near the building at the bottom of the lane.
Twelve. On a 1768 map, this was Coal Road, which later became North Coal Pit Lane, then just North Lane. The building at the end was the water tower of the Kermishaw Nook Pit Head Baths. The Coal Miners Act of 1911 ruled that coal owners must provide pit head baths if the workforce voted for them. But initially many miners were sceptical and worried that the baths would be unhygienic and spread disease. 1 shilling out of every 20 paid for mining royalties went to the Miners' Welfare Fund for the creation of pit head baths. Nooks were the 189th to be completed, one of 15 provided in Lancashire. They cost £20,698 and were designed to cater for 1,200 males and 60 to 70 female employees. They also contained equipment for first aid dressing, boot cleaning, filling of water bottles, drying and conditioning of clothes, etc. They were formally opened in 1937 by Miss Edith Stretch, who was a pit brow lass employed on the screen sorting coal. She made colliery history as the first woman in the country to perform such a ceremony. Miss Stretch said it was the wives and mothers who would derive the greatest benefit from the baths because, however careful one is when dealing with pit clothes, there is always dirt and dust flying about. Although women and children had been banned from working underground from 1842, many men were still unhappy with them working at the surface. Their main concerns were bad manners and language, personal safety, neglect of their families and domestic duties, and, of course, the trousers that many pit brow lasses wore. Despite this, a letter to the Times described them as colliery Venuses, and they featured on many postcards. In 1886, there were 1,623 women in Lancashire working on the pit brow, and they and others around the country successfully campaigned against a bill to stop them working at the collieries. Kermishaw Nook was one of the last two pits in Lancashire to employ pit brow lasses. The other was Astley Green. In 1956, there were 22 women working in their gaily coloured turbans at Kermishaw Nook. But due to a 2-year agreement between the National Union of Miners, the NUM, and the National Coal Board, the NCB, they were replaced by men who might end up otherwise redundant.
Continue up North Lane, stop at the top of North Lane, and look across the road.
B1. The Miners' Arms Pub is one of many local pubs named after the mining industry.
Turn left onto Manchester Road. Cross over Princess Avenue and continue along Manchester Road. Cross Manchester Road at the zebra crossing and stop outside the doctor's surgery on the corner of Calderhurst Lane.
B2. This single-storey building is a former blacksmith's forge, dating back to at least 1810. The building behind was the home of the Shaw family, who were blacksmiths for many years.
Cross Calderhurst Lane and continue along Manchester Road, back towards the Lancashire Mining Museum, crossing the Straits and Duke Street. Stop at the corner of Higher Green Lane.
Cross Hillock Colliery stood on the site of the petrol station. It was opened in 1869 by the Astley and Tilsley Coal and Salt Company, but only had a short life until it closed in 1885 due to flooding. This is where Joseph Rowson sadly lost his life. Although some pit houses still remain, every other trace has vanished. The area is probably named after a stone cross erected during Catholic times.
Cross Coach Road to return to Manchester Road and cross at the crossing to return to Higher Green Lane. Cross the East Lancs Road to return to the Lancashire Mining Museum. This is the end of the Blue Route.